Open your Bible this morning to Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs 11 this morning. We're departing from our study through Matthew today to focus again on an aspect of stewardship in the Scripture. I want us to begin just thinking a little bit about English and about the differences between oxymorons and paradoxes, that sometimes people get confused about what those are. Both of them involve words which seem contradictory. They seem incongruous. In the case of oxymorons, they're so interesting that experts have faithfully recorded them. You go to different websites and look at oxymorons, and they'll give you the top 10 oxymorons in the English language. Things like government organization, or things like same difference, or taped live, or plastic glasses, or pretty ugly, or a working vacation, or jumbo shrimp, or a tax return. And I had one actually just this morning. I always come in early on Sunday mornings, and I'm in my office studying, and there's a knock at my back door to my study, and I open the door, and there stands Albert Frank with an angel halo on his head. And with me having studied oxymorons, right behind him is Wayne Moser, who says, "Look at Saint Albert." And I was like, and I told him, "You know what? I've been studying oxymorons all morning. That is an oxymoron." And it just doesn't seem to fit together. Actually, that really is a paradox, because the Bible does call every believer a saint. So as hard as you can imagine, Albert Frank is really a saint, just like every other believer here today. But oxymorons are kind of intriguing. They are somewhat funny to us. But the main distinction between an oxymoron and a paradox is that although a paradox may seem to be opposed to common sense, it actually is true. And the Scripture is replete with them. There are many, many paradoxes in the Scripture. Things that we read of, like in Matthew 10, "To find, you must lose." Or Matthew 5, "To be rich, you must be poor." Or Luke 11, "To live, you must die." Or Matthew 19, "To be first, you must be last." Matthew 25, "To reign, you must serve." Or Matthew 23, "To be honored, you must be humbled." And really, you could go on and on with many different paradoxes that you see in the Scripture. They were really a very large part of Jesus' teaching. And this morning, I want us to look at one of them that we have from Solomon in the book of Proverbs. Look at Proverbs 11. In verse 24, "There is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself." I want us to look at this morning. It really is, in the Scripture, a paradox of stewardship. And that's what I want us to think about this morning as we consider our message. And let's pray and ask God to guide our thinking today. Our Father, guide us today in your truth. Thank you for putting your Spirit inside of us. You've given to us your Word. You've preserved it for us. You've put inside of us your Spirit to illuminate our minds and to teach us truth. And we need the work of your Spirit today to teach us the truth of what Solomon has written under the inspiration of your Spirit. We know that we are helpless apart from your work to open up the truth of your Word to us. And so we pray that that might be so today. Guide our thinking. Draw us to truth today, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I want us to begin this morning looking at the paradox. Remember, a paradox is something that, although it appears not to be make sense, it actually is true. And what you find here is two aspects here of that are paradoxical for us in verse 24. And the first one is this: the one who gives increases. There is that scatters and yet increaseth, the proverb says. And that really doesn't seem to make sense. The word scattereth is a word that's used 10 times in the Bible. And usually when you see that word, it's referring to the scattering of Israel or the scattering of Israel's enemies. There's one time in Psalm 112 and verse 9 where the word is used to refer to charitable giving to the poor. But most of the time when you see this word, it's having to do with Israel or Israel's enemies being scattered. And so the idea is of the word is just like you would think. It's a scattering. It's a moving away. It's a just scattering out is the idea, dispersion. And our natural thinking doesn't really respond to that. It just doesn't seem to make sense. It seems like it's a paradox. We see giving of our supply as a decrease, not as an increase. That's generally the way we think. If it has to do with my treasure and I'm giving some of that treasure away, that means my supply has decreased. If it has to do with my time and I'm giving some of my time away, then my natural thinking means, okay, I have lost that time. My supply of time has decreased. It seems to be a paradox. It just doesn't seem to make sense when the scripture would say, when you disperse, when you scatter, you actually are increasing. And so we say that's a paradox. And then the next phrase is actually just the flip side of that. And the end of verse 24, there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty. So the flip side of the one who gives increases is this: the one who keeps decreases. And again, our natural inclination, that doesn't make sense. Our natural inclination says that if I want to increase, then I really need to hang on to, I need to keep, I need to store it away. I need to keep it. And if I give it of my supply is surely going to decrease. But if on the flip side, if I keep it, if I hold on to it, then it's gradually going to increase. That is our thinking. And so it is a paradox for us. Matter of fact, go over. You can see a little example of this in Jesus' teaching. Look over to the Gospel of Luke for just a moment. In Luke chapter 12. You will recall this is a story that Jesus tells when he's answering a squabble between two individuals, two brothers, about they've asked Jesus to divide their inheritance, to speak to his brother and tell this man's brother to divide his inheritance with him. And Jesus said, "Who made me a judge or a divider over you?" In verse 15, he said, "Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he holds on to, which he possesses." And to illustrate that point, Jesus told this story. He spake this parable unto them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do? because I have no room for where to bestow my fruits. And he said, here's what I'm going to do. I will pull down my barns and build bigger barns. And there I'm going to bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. So here in the story that Jesus is telling, to answer that question, to illustrate the point that a man's life is not all about his stuff, he gives us in this man's thinking, you see, the thinking of a natural man. The natural man is, I'm going to pull all this in and hold on to it. And if my barn is not big enough, then I'll just build a bigger barn. And because I'm able to do that, I'm going to have all of this increase. And then I'm going to be able to step back and say to myself, soul, you have got it made. You are on easy street now. That is our natural thinking. That if I hold on to it, if I keep it, then I'm going to increase. But the paradox is, if I keep it, I'm actually going to decrease. That's what the proverb is teaching. Though it may seem contradictory to our own thinking, it is a truth of the Bible. You think about it from a farmer's standpoint. When a farmer is sowing his seed and he's stingy with his seed, he's keeping his seed, then he's going to have a meager harvest when it comes time for reaping. If he's keeping his water, he's going to have a meager harvest when it comes time for the reaping. There's going to be a poor return. You understand, as a businessman starting a business, you've got to spend money in order to make money. And as a believer, we understand that while we do not give in order to get, and that's an important truth for us when we think about what we're talking about today, we don't give in order to get, but the general rule of Scripture is the more that we give, the more that we receive. That's the way God operates in our lives. You look at what we heard a couple of weeks ago. I alluded to it last week on the life of George Mueller. Again, you look at this man, one of the world's greatest givers was George Mueller of Bristol, England. When he first launched out into the orphanage work that God had put on his heart, and you heard a little bit of that story from the DeGards a couple of weeks ago, all he had, as you recall from that story, that Reader's Theater, was just some small change. That's all he had as he began. The writer here I was looking at said he had 3 dishes, 28 plates, 3 basins, 1 jug, 4 mugs, 3 salt shakers, a grater, 4 knives, and 5 forks. And by the time he had finished his work, this one of the greatest givers that we know of, by the time he had finished his work, some 10,000 boys and girls had been housed and fed and clothed and educated and settled into some kind of gainful employment. He had given away vast sums of money to help Sunday schools and day schools at home and abroad. He had given away nearly 2 million Bibles and New Testaments, and had circulated 3 million books and tracts. And we don't really know how much money passed through the hands of George Mueller, but we do know that though from the world standards he would be on the poor man's list, but when you look at the list of heaven, he would be certainly considered one of heaven's billionaires, even though when he died, humanly speaking, it looked like he had nothing. But really, he died just like Abraham died. The word that the Scripture uses for Abraham, he died full. And that's the kind of life that this man lived. So we really look at the first part of Proverbs 11 and we say, well, that really is a paradox. That just doesn't seem to make sense to us. The one who lives a life scattering actually increases, and the one who lives a life withholding actually decreases. Well, the reason that is, though it seems paradoxical, remember, a paradox is something, though it doesn't seem right, it is actually true. It's the truth of Scripture. And the reason it is because of the next verse. So the first verse gives us the paradox, and the second verse gives us the premise. This is why, even though that's a paradox, it's true. Because here's the truth of God in verse 24, or verse 25. Here's what God says. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. That's the premise. This is a strong principle that's taught in the Bible. Psalm 112, verse 9. He hath dispersed, he hath given to the poor. And here's what it says. His righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. This is the man that who gave away. Paul quotes that actual verse. He quotes Psalm 112 and verse 9 in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 6. Listen to these verses. You're familiar with these. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. And then he says this, as it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. So when Paul is reaching, he's reaching back into the Old Testament, and he's quoting from the Old Testament scripture to illustrate a point about sowing and reaping and the importance of us sowing bountifully. And if we do that, we are not going to have a decrease. We're going to have an increase. Sowing bountifully and reaping also bountifully is the teaching of the Bible. And the reason that's so is because it's God. It's God working. God's the one who is sowing seed. He's the one who is ministering that seed to that sower for him to sow. He's the one who owns and controls everything, a very basic point of our stewardship. And the one who's providing seed for the harvest in the natural world is also going to supply the giver's seed that we need and we'll use for sowing. Matter of fact, look at that just one moment. Go back into your Old Testament to 1 Kings. I want you to see an example of this. We're talking about if you give. And again, please don't think when you hear the word give only financially. That is a part of our stewardship, but it's far more. When you're giving of your time, when you're giving of your efforts to use the gifts that God has given you, the talents that God has given you, when you're giving of those kinds of things, the teaching of the Bible is the one who is giving is actually increasing. It's our natural mind that says that, and if I'm giving, I'm actually losing. That's not the thinking that we should have. 1 Kings in chapter 17. You see a good example of this in the life of Elijah. You're familiar with this story. Many of you are. The story of Elijah and the widow of Zarephath. Begin reading in verse 7. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him to Elijah, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks, and he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make it for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. So you hear the story. You understand that here, that God has sent Elijah to this widow. It's a famine going on in the land. There's not rain. She doesn't have hardly anything to eat. She's going to have a last supper, if we could say it that way, for her and her son, a meager supply. And then her understanding is, we're just going to die. We don't have anything else. And then you can imagine the prophet saying, okay, I want to be the first to take of that little meager supply that you have. Now, the natural thinking is, and you can see this with this widow, when he's asking for something, she's saying, this is all I have. I don't have anything to give you. And yet he says, I want to be served first. Because here's what God says. And then you'll notice the next verse. Verse 15, and she went out and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail. And I have underlined in my Bible, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. That's why we say the reason that this is so, the reason we can look back and say in Proverbs, okay, even though that's a paradox to me, to my thinking, it doesn't make sense to me, the first part there in verse 24, that doesn't make sense to me. But the reason it is true is because this is the premise that you see in verse 25 here. The liberal soul. The liberal widow of Zarephath, the one who is going to give, that is going to be the one who increases. The liberal soul shall be made fat. And again, in different words, same truth. He that watereth shall be watered also himself. Because it's God that's behind the scenes working out all of that. And he's supplying in ways really beyond our imagination. And I know many of you, just like we've seen it in our lives, you have given faithfully to the Lord in different ways. When God has touched your heart and He's asked you to do something, and you, humanly speaking, you don't really understand how that is going to work. But you have seen God show Himself strong. You have seen God show Himself very faithful to you. And He has supplied your need, whether it was financial or whether it was increasing your time or the quality of your time or the use of your time or the way that God has just manifested Himself as you have stepped out. And the reason that is so is because it's not according to our natural thinking. There's a God behind all of that that is working out. And as we are faithful to Him, He is going to show Himself faithful in these ways. The simple truth, give and it shall be given unto you, is what the scripture teaches us. So that's the truth. Even though it seems like a paradox to us, this is the truth. Now, let's look finally here at the principles. I'm going to give us just quickly three principles. Number one, practically, respond to the need, not to the pressure. If you grasp this truth, that the liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself, then I want to encourage all of us to respond to the need, not to the pressure. Have the joy of letting God touch your heart and show you a need. There's a need in his work. There's a need that one of his children has. And you allow God to just touch your heart with that and then have the joy of being able to respond to, here is a need. And God has given you a supply financially. God has given you a supply of time. God has given you a particular supply of talent or gift. There's some particular gift that He's given to you, and He's shown you a need for that gift to be ministered to in some particular way. Then respond to the need. You'll lose the joy of what God has for you if you're simply responding to the pressure. If you just feel like somebody's trying to twist your arm, they're trying to get you to do something, you're not going to be able to give really joyfully, whatever it is. So respond to the need. Don't respond to the pressure. The generous giver is prompted to give by seeing a need. And God shows him that need. And God's the one who's speaking to him about that need. God is touching his heart about that. But your motive here is not, okay, there's a lot of pressure happening, so I just need to succumb to the pressure. Don't do that. The motive is a spiritual thing. Here, God has shown me this need. God has blessed me with means in order to meet that. And it is a great blessing to be able to give of those means. Here, God has shown you there's a need in the church about this, or there's a need in this other area of the Lord's work. And God has shown you that. Now, He may have chosen to show you that, and He's not showing somebody else that, because He's intending for you to use what He has given to you. He's intending for you to take your time, not somebody else, your time, and use your time to fill that particular need. And you'll have great joy in being able to do that, because you're responding not to pressure. You're responding to the Spirit of God showing you in His kindness, here's a need, and I've blessed you in a way that you can meet that need. And it's your great joy of service to God to be able to meet that need. So you're not responding to pressure. You're responding to pressure. You can be a little bit frustrated when you're trying to give of whatever it is. Let's just think of your time, and somebody's come and asked you to do something, and they're twisting your arm in order to get you to do this. You might be able to do that, and you might do it just to get the person off your back, but you're going to be kind of frustrated in your service of doing whatever that is. But when you see a need, and God in His sovereign ways touched your heart for that particular need, and God convinced you, you know what, I have gifted you in these ways, and you could be a blessing here. And then you respond to that. It's a spiritual thing. It's not a carnal, I'm going to do this to get him off my back. It's a spiritual thing. I have the joy and the God-given resources to be able to minister in this way. And to respond to the need and not to the pressure. And then secondly, principle, have an open heart and an open hand. Live your life that way. Say, what's an open heart? An open heart is a willing heart. That's what I mean when I say open heart. I'm talking about a willing heart. It's a heart that's willing to yield. You're willing to yield to the Spirit of God. And so your open heart is going to open your hand. And whatever God has put into your hand, whether it's like for Moses, it was a rod, or whether it's like for you, some particular resource that God has given to you, you're going to live your life with an open heart and an open hand, as opposed to living your life with a closed, shut up heart and a clenched fist. And if God gets anything out of you, He's going to have to pry open every one of your fingers before you're going to be willing to budge one inch to give God anything. Don't live your life that way. Your life is too short and your accountability is too great to live your life with your fist clenched, and God is going to have to pry anything out of you if He's going to get anything from you. Don't let it be that way. God certainly has ways of prying things out. But don't live that way. Have the joy of having an open hand and an open heart to the Lord, and let the Spirit of God just touch you in any ways. You remember those believers, those generous believers among those churches in Macedonia who gave first of their own selves to the Lord, and then God opened up their hearts and opened their hands. And then lastly, be a river, not a reservoir. Think in terms of your life and everything that God has blessed your life with as you are a river. You are just, as we sing, a channel. That's all you are. You're a channel. And God did not put those things into your hands in order for you to store them up. A reservoir is a place of storage. A reservoir is a container. A reservoir is a lake, as opposed to a river, which is continuing to flow and minister to whatever needs there are. Be that kind of person. Look at whatever it is that God has given to you. It's not for you. What God has given to you, it's not for you to store up all of those kinds of things. And you've got everything in storage, like that certain rich man that Jesus illustrated his point with. Your life doesn't consist in the abundance of the things that you possess. Instead, you're just seeing your life as a channel. And whatever God brings into your life in His blessing, you're just using it as a channel to just move it forward in the work of the Lord. There's great blessing in living your life that way. What a joy it is to be able to live your life that way, as opposed to living your life as a stingy miser. And again, when I use the word stingy, don't merely think financial. You can be very stingy with your time. You can be very stingy with your heart. You can be very stingy with the gift that God has given to you that He wants you to use to minister to His church. But don't live your life that way. When I speak of stingy, there's so many aspects to that. The stewardship of your life is everything. It's not just the financial means that God gives to us. But God gifted you. If you're a believer, you have a gift that God gave you to use for His church. Don't be stingy with that. Matter of fact, you ought to be reflecting right now on what has God given to me, and am I using that today for His church? Am I doing that? That's why you have it. Not that you can put it in a storage container and admire it. He intended for you to let it flow right on out. You're just a channel. From God, for God. Think of it that way. You think of the stewardship of your children. God's put them in your home for just such a little amount of time. And every parent that's had their children grow up, you just realize, where did the time go? It was such a short little time, and now they're off and on their own, you know. And that's where you train them to. You train them to go. But they're in your home. Just how are you stewarding that little brief time? How are you stewarding the hearts of your children? How are you stewarding the consciences of your children as they're growing up in your home that little amount of time? Are you stewarding them with the truth of God and developing in them a heart for God, developing them a conscience that's sensitive to what the Word of God says? How are we doing that? You know, we can turn in so many different ways and point to stewardship in our lives, our whole life. That's what it's about. And one day, every one of us is going to stand before God, and the account that we're giving as a believer has nothing to do with your salvation. If you have come to faith in Jesus Christ, and by that I mean you recognized one day that you were a sinner, and you recognized that Jesus Christ was the only Savior, and that God sent Jesus to die for your sins, and He rose again the third day, and you came to realize, I'm a sinner, and I cannot do enough good to get on in God's favor. I can't do it. Only Jesus can satisfy. His righteousness is the only thing that's going to satisfy God in my behalf. And so you ask Jesus to be your Savior. You came to recognize you can't be your own Savior. And Jesus has saved you from your sins. When you stand before God one day, it's going to have nothing to do with your salvation. That is forever secure. Once you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are secure. There is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. But every Christian here today, and every Christian who has ever lived, and every Christian who will live, we will stand before God one day. And the accounting that we will give is an accounting of our stewardship. How did we use what God placed into our hands? That's the only reason He placed it there, is for us to use it for Him. So how did you use what I gave you? That is the question that we're going to be answering one day from God. And we're going to be answering that question. That's why now is the time for us to deal with our stewardship. Now is the time for you to decide, okay, yes, what God has given to me, I'm going to recognize He gave it to me as a channel. That's all. And I can stand as the Lord Jesus when He's giving that story. You remember what He said in the conclusion of that story? Now, He's illustrating the point. Your life does not consist in the stuff that you possess. That's not what your life is all about. And at the end of your life, it's not going to be built on the stuff that you have. And then He illustrated with this point, this rich man was all about his stuff. And he gathered and gathered and he built bigger barns because he was all about his stuff. And you remember what Jesus said there? Today your soul will be required of you. And then what's going to happen to your stuff? And the point is, your life's not about stuff. Your life is to be stewarded for God, and what God gives you, whatever that is, and whatever realm that is, you just are a channel, and you're continuing to use that for God, whatever it is. And you're doing it as the Spirit of God touches your heart. Not because you feel coerced by some human being that's come and trying to twist your arm. You'll lose your joy if that's the way you steward your life. But allow God to touch it. And then use it for His glory. Let's pray together. Our Father, this morning, we have looked at a truth in Your Word that we've looked at before. A truth that is indeed, to our human thinking, a paradox. But it's based on who You are and the truth. A truth of one of many in which You govern Your world. And dear God, we do pray that You would help us. Most of us in this room this morning would profess to be Your children. And we pray that You would help us to be good stewards of what You have given. May we not be hoarding, keeping, holding for ourselves what You have given, but may we be channels. And we look at everything that You have given to us. You have given it for us to use for Your service, Your kingdom. Make that so of us, Lord, we pray. Challenge us today through Your Word, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.